This is the Friday Show on KABC. I'm Rachel McDonald. Our guest today is Jason Davis. He's the Public Information Officer for Lane County Public Health. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Rachel.
So, Jason, it's been a year since the first COVID-19 lockdown started here in Oregon. Before we get into some updates on the vaccine and case numbers in Lane County, you've been so deeply involved in our community's response to the pandemic. Can you share a little bit of what this year has been like for you?
The year began like any other year, except for in January we started hearing about this coronavirus. And, there was a little bit of information, but not much. We just knew essentially where we thought it came from and the likelihood of it entering the United States. And there were a lot of unknowns. When we actually entered into the emergency operations, it was because we had seen the virus make its way to the United States. But still, we had no idea of the overall toll that the virus would affect. And going into your day to work, and that's all you're talking about, is sort of a surreal kind of experience. I think we were worried at the initial projections of tens of thousands of cases. Thankfully, we've only had 10,000 cases, a little over 10,000. But initially we really were bracing for a worst case scenario, and that's not to say that certainly there hasn't been a dramatic toll taken on our community, the nation, the world. Just moreover that we have been very fortunate here in Lane County to see a relatively low death rate, a relatively low hospitalization rate, and our case rate has been manageable. I think that's what we've really focused on in emergency response. That's what I've focused on, are those high points of the small victories in combating the virus. Certainly doesn't overshadow the overall effect and dramatic toll that has taken our community. And 133 people, Lane County residents, who have lost their life. But it's those little victories of watching the epi curve turn downward, like we've seen recently, of seeing a vaccine developed and even available despite a relatively limited supply. All those things have really carried me personally through and been the bright points, And then not to mention the kind of resilience that our community has demonstrated and care for each other. I mean, I think the headlines have really carried forward a lot of dramatic times in our public and in our community. But there have been so many examples of community members helping community members, organization working across sort of the divide, if you will, public-private. Just a lot of really great things that I hope we take out of the pandemic.
Well, Lane County was in the extreme risk category for COVID-19 case numbers for many months. Now we're in the moderate category, thanks to the work that's been done and case numbers going down. What are you feeling in terms of people responding to loosened restrictions? What are your advisories in terms of how people should be looking at this moderate category now?
Well, that's a great question, Rachel, because despite our movement from extreme risk, to high to moderate, there's the possibility on a nationwide basis, and then, that can certainly be the case here locally, of a coming spike, both because of the variants that are happening and because of the increased travel and loosening restrictions across the nation. And then just, some of the unknowns that can carry a virus forward. And I think that, what we want to do is obviously celebrate the results of a lot of hard work from our community in masking, distancing, prioritizing social gatherings, being a good customer when you go into those businesses, whether it be a restaurant or retail space. All those things need to be celebrated, but they need to be taken with a grain of salt that, we are dealing with a very highly contagious virus, and we could be back in a upward swing with very little input. So what we want to do is make sure that folks are maintaining vigilance when it comes to those health recommendations, and then starting to really internalize them. I think I've heard Dr. Fauci say this a number of times, and certainly Dr. Ludke. Novel respiratory illnesses and the contagion that they represent and the speed at which they can move around our globe is only going to increase. We need to start thinking about our daily health the way we have been this last year. Hmm. Not to say that we will never go back to a concert or a family barbecue or, you know, any of the events that we enjoy on a blue sky day, but just really taking away some of the lessons we've learned about how to live healthier, how to prevent the spread of disease, and take that to heart, make that part of our daily decision-making. If we can accomplish that, then the individual guidances and health recommendations become a secondary point. It's that ethos amongst our community about how to keep ourselves healthy, how to really approach our daily lives in a way that's going to reduce disease transmission. I think that's what's crucial, and that's what I hope we see going into whatever risk category is next and whatever level of vaccination we achieve. I heard Dr. Pelz from Peace Health say yesterday, you know, herd immunity really is a moving target, because if you have really great masking, distancing, all those other public health tools that we use in your community, your vaccination rate doesn't necessarily need to be as high as 70 or 80%. It could be lower, and you could still prevent the majority of those large-scale outbreaks. So I think that, you know, given the fact that our vaccination rates in Wayne County have been known to be somewhat lower than the state or even national average, we want to make sure and brace ourselves for that by maintaining those good respiratory hygiene practices.
Let's talk a little bit about vaccines. Sorry, we're on the phone and the connection's a little bit funny, but Jason, just want to talk about vaccines. We, you know, had somewhat spotty supply since the rollout started, but we're expecting a huge increase in supply. So what are things going to look like in the coming months as more vaccines are available?
It's going to look very similar to the way it does now, just a lot more of it. You know, our mass vaccination sites, we are scaling up to 3,000 doses per day per site. So when you're running two sites, you can do 6,000 doses a day. When you're running three sites, even more. And we have a third site coming online in about a week. We will add another site. That site has an even higher capacity, upwards of 4,000 or 5,000 folks a day. So on any given day, once we hit our stride with the new supply that we're seeing on the forefront, we could expect to potentially go through about 10,000 doses a day. You're also going to see a lot more participation in from local providers. Some of our smaller medical practices and clinics are going to be providing the vaccine, which is good news for people who, you know, aren't necessarily a patient to one of those larger providers. You're going to see more doses in more pharmacies. Right now, you know, a lot of our pharmacy doses, they've been doing a great job at getting vaccines out there. You know, we have 11 Bi-Marts doing it. You have the federal pharmacy program, a number of different pharmacies having doses sent to them, but it's only about 100, maybe 200 doses per week. And so you're going to see that number greatly increase. And then a lot of support all around to make sure that those functions are happening. And then Lane County, you know, besides our mass vaccination effort, one of the things that we're really making sure that we go into this new sort of flood of vaccines is that we're not leaving folks out, that we're really taking the time to look at what are those pockets in our community where we have underserved folks, people who may not have internet access, may have difficulty getting to a vaccination clinic, may have other considerations that haven't been accounted for, certainly our unhoused community, our communities of color. So thankfully, we have a pretty robust network of community-based organizations, from nonprofits to neighborhood associations, a lot of different organizations represented in this group. And these groups are ready and able to help facilitate some of those small clinics that can really help bring along some of those populations. We just had one last night with the Latinx Alliance. 64 individuals got vaccinated. It was a tremendous success, I think, for being able to work with a community-based organization that is not primarily a health entity. And then, you know, Lane County providing the bones of the operation, the community-based organization that has the relationships with those communities can do the outreach, can reassure folks, can build trust, and then we all meet together to get shots and arms.
Well, let's go to some listener questions. This one we got by email from Mary Alice. She says, if you received your first Pfizer vaccine at one location, can you register for the booster at another site? She says they had to go to Florence to get her husband vaccinated on March 6th, and they live in Eugene, so are hoping to be able to register in Eugene for the second shot.
Okay, yeah, and her name was Mary, is that right?
Mary Alice.
The fact that you had to go all the way to Florence to receive your shot is unfortunate, and I do apologize that that ends up being the case. The boost dose, however, you do not need to be relegated to a specific geographical area. Your boost dose will be sent to us, and then we'll have boost clinics based on the relative number of people that were vaccinated on that day. So there's quite a bit of flexibility for us to be able to have people that traveled, let's say in your case to Florence to receive their prime dose, be able to receive their boost dose here at one of our clinics. So that shouldn't be a problem. If you do run into issues, COVID vaccine at lanecountyor.gov is a great way to let us know about those issues. But I don't anticipate seeing that being a problem.
Okay. And again, that email address is covidvaccine@lanecountyor.gov. Another question is along the same lines. This is from Jane in Eugene, who says, I was thrilled to receive my first dose of Pfizer vaccine at the end of February, invited to a clinic held at LCC, but I neglected to ask whether the second dose will be prioritized at that same location for a person pre-registered like me, a senior over 75. So again, how do people know when to get their booster dose?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jane. You're not alone in wondering that. We are trying to make sure that folks have that information when they leave the clinic, but I know it's an exciting time and there can be a lot thrown at you all at once. But the gist of the answer to that question is when Oregon Health Authority gives us our prime doses or our first doses, factored into that is also the capacity for a boost dose. And so we are guaranteed the number of boost doses that we hand out relative to prime doses. So you do have a shot waiting for you. Now, the caveat to it is that it might not be right on the nose for that 21 days for Pfizer, 28 days for Moderna. There is a little bit of flexibility in there, all the way up to 6 weeks. And what we aim to do is to get it relatively on the exact same day, 3 weeks out. But if we wait until the next week, it's in the scheme of things, it's not as big of an issue. And so we have had folks who weren't able to get into a boost clinic that first weekend, right when they were met that 21 days. And so they were, kind of bumped to the next weekend. That has been, I was just talking to one of our schedule people, and they were saying that has been the minority of the instances, because we do try to do it on a relatively accurate basis, on a one-for-one basis. But there are instances where that has happened. And a lot of times it's happening because we're not dividing out those clinic times into Saturday or Sunday. So if you were vaccinated in the third week of January, there's a Saturday and Sunday in there. We're taking both of those days and making the boost dose clinic available to the people on both Saturday and Sunday on that next weekend. So a lot of people will get on there and they'll take the first opportunity. And so those folks that were vaccinated on Saturday think, well, now I've missed my opportunity because I was 21 days to the day on that Saturday, and so I'm not going to schedule for the Sunday. The fact of the matter is, just take the next what you should do is just take the next available opportunity. So it doesn't matter if it's on that Sunday or the following Saturday, just try to select that next one.
Okay, lots of logistics involved here, and still more a couple more questions regarding vaccine appointments. We've got a question about someone who says they've signed up on lots of different lists, Lane County Public Health, Peace Health, and through a tribe, and is checking sites like vaccinefinder.com every day, is wondering, is this the best strategy, and are there unseen costs of doing this strategy of signing up multiple places for a vaccine?
Well, I can't say that I blame you. I would be doing the same thing if I was eligible, making sure that I am signing up wherever I might get the dose first. So Lane County's pre-registration list is a must-have. So if you've signed up through the pre-registration, that covers you for a large amount of vaccine opportunities, whether it be a mass vaccination clinic, a Peace Health clinic, or OMG clinic. We're all operating off the same list. So that is a great way to start. Now, I have heard of people who have signed up with a pharmacy, and because of their timing, they were able to get a spot much sooner than through other options. And, you know, I can't blame people for utilizing that. I think the best dose right now is the first dose. All we would ask is that if you have an appointment with Lane County and you are able to schedule one sooner with a pharmacy, please do let us know, again, to that COVID vaccine@LaneCounty, OR.gov email address, just letting us know that you know, you need to cancel your appointment. That helps us out with scheduling, and we can offer that to someone else. If I was that person in their shoes, I would be signing up everywhere I could as well. But the first stop just being Lane County pre-registration site.
Okay. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. And we're back with Jason Davis with Lane County Public Health. This is the Friday show on KLCC. I'm Rachel McDonald. Here's an email question we got from Stu in Vinita, who says, I hear you say on the radio, talking to us, there were 136 new confirmed or presumptive cases of COVID-19 yesterday in Oregon, according to the Oregon Health Authority. And his question is, what does presumptive mean? And why not just wait until they are confirmed to report the number? And how many presumptive cases never get confirmed? All right, we seem to have lost Jason. Hopefully we'll get him back. I'm going to go ahead and play some tape from someone who sent in their own voice memo talking about what it's been like during this year of lockdown because of COVID-19. We asked listeners to send in their reflections from this pandemic year, and Whitney sent us this voice memo about her commitment to visit every one of Eugene's 110 parks.
I only have 4 parks left to visit, and the parks range from developed playgrounds to undeveloped lots to huge hiking areas. Here's a fun fact. The smallest park in Eugene is Glen Oak Park. It's only 0.28 acres, so it's pretty tiny. The largest is Suzanne Arley Park, and it's 515 acres. I've been to both. This project has been a really wonderful thing to do during this time. It's gotten me outside, and it's allowed me to see parts of the city that I've never been to before, despite the fact that I've lived in Eugene for most of my life. The project has also allowed me to feel like I'm traveling and seeing new places, which has been really wonderful during a year when I've often felt stuck, both physically and emotionally.
So that is Whitney from Eugene, who's committed to visiting every one of Eugene's 110 parks here in town, and that's been her project for the pandemic, starting at the beginning of May and continuing through May of this year. Now, the first death to COVID-19 recorded in Lane County happened just over a year ago. Mary Kay Alexander died on March 14, 2020, at the age of 60. Her husband, Brian, survived her and has since recovered from his own case of COVID-19. He spoke with our colleague, Brian Bull, today.
Well, I hope after a year's worth of all this, people agree with me that it is real and it is a disease that can kill and can make people sick, even if it doesn't kill them, can make them sick for a long time, even if it doesn't kill them. So I'd encourage everybody to be vigilant still until we get the numbers down. Just because the numbers are going down, if you look at the numbers right now, they are going down, but they're about at the peak we had in the fall. So, you know, going down is a relative term. So I'd encourage everyone to continue do with all the safety measures that we have been doing for a while now.
All right, you're listening to the Friday show on KLCC. I'm Rachel McDonald. We just heard from Brian Alexander, who is the widower of the first known death to COVID-19 here in Lane County. And Jason Davis, I think you're back with us now.
I am back.
Yay. Well, What do you think about when you hear that? I don't know if you heard Brian Alexander, but just he was really, again, reminding people that this pandemic is not over, and we still need to do all the things to be careful about not spreading the coronavirus.
The first thing I think is I'm very sorry for his loss. I remember when that happened, and I remember, you know, the team, we were all hit pretty hard by it, and I can't imagine, you know, what he went through. So very sorry for his loss. The next thing I think of is that he's spot on. it kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, Rachel, where I think now is not the time to let up. You know, what we've done, these lower case numbers and these lower risk levels, all that is evidence that what we've been doing is working. So the time to change thing is not right when it's working. We need to maintain this for a while. We need to achieve herd immunity. You know, we have some calculations right now that puts us into around September when we might be able to achieve that. Herd immunity based on vaccination numbers and some other factors. And now is the time to really remain vigilant. We're sort of in the most crucial point of the pandemic, where we have the most control that we've ever had. So I would love to see our community continue to rally around those health guidelines and make choices based on maintaining these low case numbers and, you know, preserving life in the long run.
And with just a few minutes left, just wanted to go back to that question from Stu regarding confirmed and presumptive cases.
Yeah.
Do you want me to reread it?
No, I got the gist of his question. Did I cut out for the whole thing?
Yes, you did. You just,
okay. So the answer to that was essentially when we made the shift, from bucketing out or actually combining presumptive and confirmed cases together. That was a state level decision, primarily based on the increased case counts that were happening at that time. Typically, we like to differentiate between those. It allows us a little bit better understanding of how the virus actually progresses and the percentage overall of those cases that go from presumptive to confirmed. In Lane County, I know that we've had this conversation a few times, just looking at what data we have available. And it does seem that the majority of presumptive cases that do end up being tested are in fact confirmed. Now, there was a period in time for a few months there during the pandemic when testing was almost as in short supply as vaccinations have been. And not everybody that had COVID symptoms actually ended up getting a test. So if you were in a known exposure to someone who did have COVID and you had the classic symptoms of COVID, it was presumed that you had it.
Jason, we're going to have to wrap it up here. I'm so sorry, Jason. We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
Jason Davis is Public Information Officer with Lane County Public Health. You can send your questions for next Friday's show to news@klcc.org or leave us a voicemail at 503-877-3198. I'm Rachel McDonald. This is The Friday Show on KLCC.